The senior wildlife biologist at Grand Teton National Park is retiring after 26 years on the job. During his tenure, Steve Kane worked with the state and other wildlife managers to improve conditions for wildlife, not just in the park, but across the 22-million-acre Greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Rebecca Huntington has more.
When Steve Kane first came to Grand Teton in 1989, he was the only biologist, alongside a fisheries expert overseeing the park's wildlife. The tools he had to work with were pretty limited.
There was no such thing as internet. I had the only computer in the entire park at that time, and so that's a little bit of an indication of how things have changed in 25 or 6 years.
What was the highest priority conservation issue on your plate when you first got to the park?
Bald eagles were still on the endangered species list, as were peregrine falcons. Wolves were nowhere in the picture at that point because this was pre-Yellowstone reintroduction. Grizzly bears were rare.
Kane had to hike deep into the backcountry to spot a grizzly. Today, he says, all of those species are doing well in the park. And tourists can spot a wild grizzly without even getting out of their car.
That, along with wolf reintroduction in Yellowstone and then wolves coming down here into Jackson Hole and starting to breed in 1998, has been really fun and gratifying to see that conservation change and what I call a rewilding of the park.
Grand Teton is unusual because it has an elk hunt within the park. What are your thoughts on having an elk hunt in a national park?
Some people have said that the hunt is outdated. It's going on 65 years old. Why do we still need it? And it really is because all the factors still exist that they did back then. Now, what has changed is we have a much higher degree of natural regulation because of wolves and grizzly bears. So instead of giving out 2,000 or 3,000 permits a year, the park gives out about 600. That's a huge benefit. The reduction program is much less intense, but until we can break the tie between these large elk herds and the feeding in winter, it's going to have to be occurring at some level.
The elk feeding happens on lands outside the park, but tell me what it means for elk inside the park.
It's not a what we'd call a natural ecological system. The winter feeding has a huge effect on what elk do. And so basically, almost 100% of the elk that summer in the park in Grand Teton winter on the National Elk Refuge. Of course, they have high survival, they have high reproductive rates. That contributes for the need to have an intensive hunting program.
Kane says he'd like to see wildlife managers experiment with phasing out winter feeding alongside efforts to bring back historic elk migration routes. He says spreading elk out on natural ranges might be one of the only ways managers can cope with chronic wasting disease. Concentrating animals on feed grounds is like putting kids in daycare. Diseases spread more easily. And Kane says new research on mule deer shows that the fatal wildlife disease is heading this way.
We marked some deer in the north half of the park that we anticipated would cross the hydrological divide in the Tetons and go to the west and winter in Idaho, and instead they went to the east. Ended up both in the town of Dubois and just west of Cody, Wyoming. And both of those areas are immediately adjacent to hunt areas where chronic wasting disease in mule deer has been documented. And so there's a very plausible route to bring it into Jackson Hole through that mule deer migration.
Technology has come a long way since Kane's first days at the park with no internet. Using GPS collars, Kane collaborated with other researchers to map out how pronghorn move from summer ranges in Grand Teton to winter ranges around Pinedale.
So what that did is it gave interested parties an actual polygon, something you could see on the map and say, okay, this is what we need to focus on. That focus, as well as the conservation efforts, mostly by the Wildlife Conservation Society, eventually resulted in the Forest Service protecting that corridor. So the Path of the Pronghorn became the first federally protected migration corridor in the United States history.
While he's had some successes, Kane says he still worries about the future. He says there's a constant pressure to develop land outside the park and add new forms of recreation inside the park. Those priorities can mean less space for wildlife.
If we don't start putting wildlife first, and even giving back to wildlife some of what we've already taken, we're going to lose the heritage that is so important to this community.
Kane plans to remain in Jackson and continue working on wildlife studies designed to conserve space for wildlife to roam. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Rebecca Huntington in Jackson.